P-29. Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. In the kitchen of Phil Norris's farmhouse, the night was quiet and still. Clark McCarthy and William Godfrey sat alone well into the morning, keenly but increasingly angrily scanning through the surprisingly long list of names and the web of connections Richard Walker had left behind to ensure someone could keep an eye on the chaos sowing and profit at all costs cretins behind the opaque Emporion Holdings hedge fund. The men knew that Timo Fiori and Chip Petrovich were currently engaged in an identical pursuit, following an urgent phone call made several hours earlier to seek confirmation that Chip and Leisha had indeed arrived in Colorado Springs after Leisha failed to return to Eastview as expected. The news that Leisha was staying for a while to discuss the details and implications of the apparent time gate between New Kerguelen and Sanctuary was well received, not only because it answered the question of where he was, but also because they all knew that they would be hard-pressed to find a keener mind than Alessandro's for that kind of thing. No one expected him to get to the bottom of what was going on, even with indirect access to the primary observational and computational data, courtesy of Sacco and the young alien engineer who had first discovered it, but Alessandro was certainly more likely to meaningfully scratch the surface and contextualize that data than any other member of the group. Since none of them were keen to share that data, externally at least, until after Billy had been retrieved from the other side, if that seemed at all possible, Alessandro and his rare intellect represented their best bet, and a fairly promising one at that. With a focused 2020 panel of truly unparalleled importance on the horizon and set to feature some as yet undecided members of the group, Dan, Emma, and Tara opted to get some long overdue sleep while those better suited to analyzing the data they might come to rely on got on with that particular task. Baby Piper, remarkably comfortable in her new and temporary surroundings, slept in the cot Phil had procured for just such an emergency. The emergency, in this case, was more of a reluctance to return to their home in Birchwood, in truth, given that Leisha had so recently had to deal with two individuals who arrived on the doorstep looking decidedly like they weren't there to talk. Dan, Emma, Tara, and indeed Piper all proved tired enough to sleep through the night, and the adults would wake up giving their compliments to Phil for having provided such comfortable bedding. No expense had been spared, it seemed, and the most difficult thing for any of them had been falling asleep in the knowledge that their late friend's corpse was too close for comfort on the other side of his giant walk-in freezer's door. Upstairs, Godfrey and Clark worked diligently until sunlight overcame the stars. The latter had conducted somewhat similar investigative work during his brief stint in the local police force, and his work had played a big part in tying the anti-contact geosovs to the Fiori Frontieri bombing. Godfrey, meanwhile, quite clearly had a broader knowledge of shady political dealings than anyone else present, and as such, felt that he might be able to spot things the others wouldn't. The ICA chairman, a certainty to appear on the Focus 2020 panel, given his prestigious position and his well-spoken ability to remain cool and eviscerate his opponents with calmly delivered zingers, even in the face of intense provocation, insisted to Emma in particular that he really didn't need a good night's sleep to be in a state of mind capable of dealing with the Slaters and Coles and Gellers of the world. The situation was serious enough that he didn't even make the obvious joke that he could have handled them all in his sleep, let alone without sleep, and instead he simply stated without pride that he had grown used to running on a few hours per night for extended periods during his days as prime minister, especially first time around. He would sneak in a few hours during the late morning or early afternoon, he promised, once final strategic decisions about the next night's Focus 2020 panel in New York had been made. Neither Emma nor Tara or anyone else had made any real effort to encourage Clark to get some rest, meanwhile, all understanding that scanning through the names and connections was very much his secondary motive for staying awake and above ground while they slept. The elder McCarthy brothers' protective instincts were so strong that it didn't even have to be said. Like earlier, when he insisted that the others shelter in the basement while he guarded the farmhouse during Godfrey and Leisha's trip to Birchwood in anticipation of the intrusion that quickly followed, there was once again nothing anyone could have said to talk Clark out of being in the best place to keep watch while the others were in the best place to keep safe. One of the first things that jumped out at Clark was the name of the first private security firm he had worked for in Iraq, immediately upon leaving the military with everyone's best wishes after quickly proving unsuited to the desk job he'd been forced to take when a medical condition arose and precluded him from active duty. That had been before he proved himself so well suited to the protection game that he was quickly headhunted to a larger firm for a far more lucrative role taking care of high-value individuals. He was, at least, relieved to see that Emporion didn't seem to have any links to that larger firm, since it had assisted with military contracts on several occasions, and any suggestion that Emporion's poison had infected the armed forces would have been too much for him to handle. Far worse was what Clark found next, while continuing down the private security rabbit hole within Walker's sizable database of implicated companies and individuals. Walker, or whoever he had entrusted with his background investigation work, had identified several individuals working within large security firms who had directly accepted payments from Emporion-linked accounts. One such name, infuriatingly and sickeningly, was of the lone wolf terrorist who had long since been proven responsible and held to account for the Fiori Frontieri bombing that almost claimed the lives of Timo and Emma. Walker's database had been created a year before that incident, of course, but it nevertheless proved beyond doubt that the man in question hadn't been acting on his own or as part of some ideologically motivated terrorist cell, as had previously been thought to be the case. Further alarm bells rung when Godfrey and Clark followed some of Walker's breadcrumbs to find that a biotech company controlled by Emporion at the time of the document's creation had very recently and very quietly acquired a company which had developed an early stage and imperfect method of converting into coherent text the basic thoughts of mute patients and people with serious motor conditions. That's phase one of a human-controlled uplift, Godfrey said. We all know there's been an arms race to develop anything close to telepathy or telekinesis now that the messengers, and indeed Dan, have publicly demonstrated not just the feasibility, but the actual existence of such abilities. And this is that. This is Emporion buying up the IP of a company which was developing these kinds of things for the right reasons, and it doesn't take a great leap of imagination to think they plan to use them for the wrong reasons. How does that fit their whole only care about money thing? Clark asked. Godfrey paused for a second. Okay, this might take a slight leap of imagination, but it's fully merited. You see, remember what Walker said. Emporion is a doomsday fund at its core, seeking chaos for profit. Since they bought Blitz, Geller has never been off TV shrieking about the dangers of telepathy and all the companies trying to weaponize it, and her masters are doing the thing she's rallying against. One side of the coin is creating the problem the other side is screaming about, and the effect is compounded chaos. This is where we get to the question of how much Geller knows, because she hates us. If you're asking me her prime motive, it's that. Dan humiliated her. He ruined her. She hated Walker, too, if you recall the blackmail he pulled with the bugs at your house. This is getting deeper than I expected, Clark said. I hope Timo and Chip are going deep in other directions, or maybe skimming more of the surface. We basically need a few zingers to hit Slater and Cole with tonight, not so much Geller. At least, I don't think so. Pretty much everyone hates Geller anyway. Godfrey nodded. I don't disagree, but she's the explicit link to Emporion, and now we know she's in bed with those two. The Dortolu Tepe leak told us that, when she very deliberately named them as her source. There was nothing left to chance there. They have to know she was going to implicate them, and they have to have planned it in advance. You're right, though. A few zingers. That's what we need more than anything right now. Just minutes later, a zinger neither man could have seen coming presented itself in the form of a name on Walker's watch list. Given what had happened in the years since he created the document, it was one that stuck out like a sore thumb. Poppy Bradshaw.